Business Matters on Highland Radio is brought to you by Local Enterprise Office Donegal. Find out more about the Energy Efficiency Grant, aimed at helping businesses to operate in a more sustainable way, by visiting localenterprise.ie/Donegal.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Business Matters on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. Well, I'm delighted to say I'm joined by the owner of Innes Communications, Trish Hegarty. Trish worked as a journalist with the Irish Times, RTE and BBC Radio Foyle before, back in 2004, she set up her own PR, social media and digital content agency. Maybe that wasn't the tag in those days, but it certainly is now. Coming up, we'll hear about how the agency has flourished and adapted to the ever-changing requirements, big undertakings like the Love Donegal campaign, some of her major clients, and what her plans are for the future. But Trish, maybe first of all, you were on with my predecessor here on Highland Radio, Kieran O'Donnell, just under a year ago, and you had just launched a PR toolkit for small and medium enterprises with limited time and budgets, and we'll look at that in detail shortly. But first, maybe you can just give us the old elevator pitch about what exactly your business is all about.
Well, basically, putting it in its simplest terms, I help you promote your business or your organization to the widest possible audience in the best possible way. That's about the simplest way to put it. So we will work with a client to take a strategic approach to marketing their business to make sure that it reflects what their business goals and aims are. Because sometimes you could be wasting your time to promote something if you're not really quite clear what it is you want to change. Do you want more people on your website? Do you want more business on your website? Do you want more people crossing your door? Do you want to expand in all areas or certain areas? What's going to give you the greatest profits? What's going to work the best for your business? So there's a lot involved. It's not a one size fits all. And we basically customize our approach to every client. We have a reputation for really good quality work and for delivering great results. And that's something we're very proud of. I'm very proud of having achieved that and still being here, still standing 20 years later and still growing.
20 years on. So let's just wind back the clock a little bit. You're now based in Shrove in North Inishowen, looking out over the beautiful Foyle. But your early years were actually in Stranorlar. So you kind of went a roundabout route to get back up to Shrove. And during that time, of course, a career in the media. And for a lot of people in PR, you know, it's a big help if you have that media background. So just remind us of your career after you left college, Irish Times, and also BBC and RTE.
Yeah, I actually had a very short career before that. I was in student politics for a number of years, or I should say student unionism. I was never involved in politics with a big P, but I was a student leader in Queens and with the Union of Students in Ireland in Dublin. So one of my claims to fame is I was the first woman president of the Union of Students in Ireland. And from there, I began to understand the power of media, which moved me into journalism. And I spent a couple of years freelancing, including some contract work for RTE. And then really for the next 6 years worked pretty much exclusively for the Irish Times. And when an opportunity came up to move back to my homeland of Donegal, there was an ad for a job in BBC Radio Foyle. And I took that job and moved from print into broadcast journalism. And really enjoyed it because it's a whole new different set of skills. You're writing for the ear, not for the eye, which actually really stands to you in today's world of shorter sentences, simpler speech. You learn everything to know about broadcast reporting, about presenting, about producing. I may have been based in BBC Radio Foyle, but basically you served Belfast, you served London, you served Scotland, and, you know, being there for, you know, before peace, during the Anglo-Irish Agreement, being there for a lot of really major milestones and covering a lot of really big stories, as well as the small local stories, that was a great experience.
Absolutely. Now, where did the idea come to set up your own PR agency? What was it, something that was sort of festering for a period of time?
It was. I think you sort of put your finger on it when you said that there are a lot of people in PR, or a lot of people in PR find having a media background really useful. I'm sure being in journalism as long as you have been, Chris, that you have been at the receiving end of really bad PR. Like somebody sends you in a news release, you call and say, oh, this is a really interesting story. Can I speak to so-and-so that you've mentioned here in your news release for our lunchtime program? And they say, actually, no, she's not here this week. You could get her next week. And you try to politely say, well, actually, the story won't be news next week and I'm working in news. And you're thinking, how could somebody have put out, how could have somebody have managed the PR that badly? And that's just one example of the sort of thing that comes across your desk all the time. So you can tell pretty quickly which are the good PR people and who are the ones who really could do with learning a few lessons. And it had always stuck with me how important the power of the media was for getting your message across, because when I was a student union leader, we had to use the media to try and promote messages about how important it was to have equal access to education, equality for women, all sorts of messages. Then I was in the media helping people to share their own messages. And now I wanted to go back on the other side of the fence again, if you like, but to help other people get their message across because they didn't have the skills or they didn't have the resources. So that was really why I did it. I saw a gap in the market. There wasn't really anybody in the Northwest at the time. I'd experience from, you know, from both sides of the fence. I had the print and broadcast experience. I had national and local media experience. So to me, you know, I had the media skills needed to really help.
And your first few clients, how did you pitch to get that initial business?
God, you know, it's really hard to remember. It is actually quite, I actually don't think I really had to do that. I don't think I really did an awful lot of pitching. I tendered for a couple of things. I did some training work within a show on community radio at the time. I tendered fairly early on for PR work with Foyle Port, and I worked with them for several years, which was a big contract. And then I was also invited to tender for work for B&B Ireland. And they would have been a big client in my early years. So I had, you know, lots of small businesses, but your reputation does grow fairly quickly. So people came to me and then, you know, a couple of big contracts. So, yeah, I was really surprised at how quickly it took off, because it is scary, yeah, to leave a permanent pensionable staff job at the BBC and go out on your own. But it paid off.
Yeah. So from small beginnings, things flourished. And I suppose a mixture in your portfolio of private sector and public sector clients.
Yeah, it's actually, yeah, it's a really good mix. Even from the earliest days, I would have had small businesses, then, you know, bigger public sector clients like Foyle Port. Did a little bit of work with Foyle Ireland and Inishowen in the early years, worked with B&B Ireland on nationwide contracts across the years. But with the smaller businesses in the private sector, it was pretty much everybody, you know, from marine to tourism to health, finance, accountancy, engineering, you name it. We covered an absolutely massive range. Worked on with public sector clients like Derry City Council, Donegal County Council, or Derry and City and Strabane as it is now, local enterprise office, Udrus na Gaeltacht, worked on EU projects with Udrus and with Inishowen Leader, working with partners in Germany, Italy, Sweden, Finland, Iceland. You name it, the private sector clients are always growing, and we've always also had quite a big proportion of clients in the voluntary sector over the years, you know, from smaller community-based groups to bigger organisations like Derry Well Woman, or in the last couple of years, we've done a lot of work with CARI, the Child Sexual Abuse Agency, Children at Risk Ireland. We've done quite a bit of work, including sponsored and pro bono work for them, because their budgets are very tight, but they've got a really, really important message to get across. And then the other sector that's really growing, and you're familiar with this, Chris, because you did an interview with John Logue from Social Enterprise Republic of Ireland. We've had a growing number of clients in the social enterprise sector. And like all of our clients, we really love working with them, including one of the ones that John Logue actually named specifically is Fríoca Sport in Carndonagh, who are a superb award-winning social enterprise agency. very, very much community-based, always changing, always growing, always innovating. And then we also work with Social Enterprise in Galway, Bounce Back Recycling. It constantly changes, but yes, we do enjoy the private and the public. We also enjoy the voluntary sector and social enterprise sector. So it's never a dull moment. It's a great mix.
Yeah. When you started initially and being based in North Innishow, and what was the intention? Always to sort of branch out, just not covering the Northwest, but to go for clients elsewhere in the country and even abroad? Or at the beginning, did you think you were going to be pretty much confined to the Northwest?
No, I never set out to only work in the Northwest, but I did see a gap in the market there. Now, obviously, there are lots of great people out there in this sector. But don't forget, this is before the days of digital marketing. So there wouldn't even have been that many marketing style agencies up here in the Northwest. So I was definitely filling a gap. But because I had worked, I'd been based in Dublin, I'd been based in Belfast in the past. I've lived and worked in both those places. I've worked in Derry. I always would have had my eye on, you know, looking at a national level. Now, I didn't aspire towards corporate PR. That wasn't really, I wasn't planning to grow and try and compete with the big corporates. That wasn't on my agenda, but certainly, yes, I did look right across the island, across the border and across the island. Yeah.
When a new, maybe a small private sector client comes to you and is perhaps looking for advice and guidance, would it be fair to say that, you know, some of them don't really know where they should be trying to get their message out to? And, you know, that's an area that, particularly in this day and age, years ago, you might have sent out a press release to local radio, local newspapers, and that was more or less sort of it. But now with digital media and all the social platforms, there's probably a lot more work involved for you, is there?
Definitely, we've had to change. You know, from 2008 onwards, we've been adapting to the digital age. And I remember when it started, the biggest challenge for me was everybody was talking about digital marketing and digital advertising. And I've never wanted to be an ad agency. So there was a sort of a blurring of lines for several years until it all sort of settled down a bit. So you could see, yes, your website has to be part of your PR strategy, you know, what you use it for. Your social media is part of your PR. We would look at all of those things for our clients. So you're looking at, you know, all of those digital skills. But I very quickly realized that all the years in the BBC had really stood by me, because you were used to writing headlines and even your bullet points for a menu for a program. You were used to writing all sorts. You were used to writing snappier copy, and it adapted really well, that style of writing, to digital content, and particularly for social media posts, because you were used to just writing one paragraph, you know, one or two sentences for a news bulletin headline. You know, you're used to doing all of that thing. So those skills sort of really came back into their own for me during the digital era. And it took a few years then to get confidence to see that it's just content, but on a digital platform. That's all it is. And I suppose even before people started to talk about search engine optimization, you know, making yourself more easily found in the big browsers, you know, like Google, I was already writing what was probably more SEO friendly copy than I realized. And then quickly, of course, then you realize that, yes, this stuff works. This content works well on websites, and this does help attract more web traffic for your clients. So yeah, adding in websites, adding in social media, It was a transition, but a bit challenging at the start, but really very, very quickly made that transition. And I think in any business nowadays, you really have to be able to adapt to digital changes, to technological changes. You have to be, you know, you have to be constantly innovating.
If we look at social media platforms like TikTok, and we hear particularly younger people with shorter attention spans, does that have an influence on how you're pitching something and how, when you're getting a message out, you may have to have different versions for different types of media outlets?
Absolutely. Yeah. No, that's absolutely true. I mean, to be honest, you're right. And you're saying younger people have even shorter attention spans, but all of us have shorter attention spans. If we're looking at something online, if we're not interested in the first sentence, we're gone. So your first sentence, the first few lines, the first few words are absolutely crucial. That's a given. And that's the way I would write a news release nowadays. That's the way I'd write a blog. That's the way I would write copy for a website page. If you lose somebody in the first paragraph, they're not going to come back. You know, so the old days where we could, we'd sit down with the newspaper and we'd start to read the article. And if we didn't get it in the first paragraph, we might reread it. Nobody rereads now. They're just gone. If they don't get it first time, they're away. So you have to tailor everything that you do and everything that you write to that awareness, to that understanding. And then, as you say, there's also different audiences on different platforms. You know, more of a younger audience on TikTok. Insta has grown, you know, so it's quite a mix of ages. Facebook, definitely more of an older audience. And Twitter, I think an audience that is shrinking at the moment. LinkedIn, you know, much better, say, for business to business and great for professional stuff. And, you know, you can use a completely different writing style there than you would on TikTok. So, yeah, you do have to tailor your message to the platform that you're on. Absolutely. Totally agree with that.
And do some clients, do they cherry pick and say, no, we're not interested in X or Y, or I'm not interested in TikTok? But, you know, that may not be a good thing because everybody's a potential customer for you.
Yeah, there is, because at the end of some clients will say, well, actually, I'm not interested in that platform. I'm more interested in this platform. And that can be for two reasons. One, it may be that they're not well enough informed about the platform, but it may also be that they are, but that's just not where their audience is or not where they see their audience is. And there's a third reason as well, is they may just not be able to generate enough content for a platform like TikTok. So some products or services are very much given to visual images, and some it's more challenging to create, you know, a high volume of good quality visual images for a platform like TikTok. But generally, when we sit down with any client, the very first thing we're doing with a new client is create a PR strategy, and that'll identify not just, you know, what it is they want to achieve from PR, but it'll look at like their key messages, their target audiences, and where those target audiences might be, and what are the best ways of reaching those target audiences. So we would look at all of that from the very, very start, you know. And some clients will want help with their website, some won't. Some clients will want help with their social media, some won't. It's really based on what they need, you know.
Well, join us again after this short break when we'll hear more from Trish Hegarty of Innes Communications about her business and, in particular, her company's PR toolkit for small and medium enterprises with limited time and budgets, which was launched just over a year ago.
If your small business has undertaken a Green for Business, Green Start or SEAI energy audit, you're eligible to apply for an energy efficiency grant aimed at reducing the impact of enterprises on the environment. This scheme from Local Enterprise Office Donegal supports all aspects of sustainability, including water, energy and the circular economy. Continue your sustainability journey at localenterprise.ie/Donegal.
Welcome back to Business Matters on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. I've been speaking with Inishowen-based Trish Hegarty about her PR business, Innes Communications. Shortly, we'll hear about the Donegal Connect and Love Donegal campaigns. But firstly, let's hear now about the PR toolkit for small and medium enterprises that she has developed. You launched this just over a year or so ago. So tell us a little bit more about it and the thought behind it and what the response has been to date.
Right. Well, to be honest, it was sort of a child of COVID, like lots of innovations that have been developed in the last couple of years. When the first lockdown hit, I thought, well, that's it. It'll be less business. You can reduce your hours. You can do like everybody else and go and learn to make sourdough bread and this, that, and the other. You'll have a bit more time on your hands. You'll be fine. We've got a roof over our heads. We're going to be fine. So don't worry about it. And within weeks, I was absolutely flat out busy because I'm on the mentor panel for the local enterprise office, and they were offering free mentoring support to businesses who needed to improve their online presence. And that's a huge part of what we do. So I was absolutely slammed for the next year. I mentored over 30 Donegal businesses in a year. And that was in addition to my existing work. Some clients did practically no work. Some of my regular clients were still just as busy. So I was absolutely flat out. And some people got a couple of days mentoring. Some people only got 6 hours maybe. So I was having to try and talk them through a strategic approach to their online presence, looking at what their key messages were, trying to create a content map for them. Most of them needed a major revamp of their business. So trying to give them a sort of a brief for how to, you know, what was needed in terms of redeveloping their business, create an action plan for them, create social media campaign plans for them. And it became a little bit like a production line. I developed all my own in-house tools, mostly with Excel and Word, using them as templates and adapting them for each client. Because if somebody only has 6 hours, but their need is really great, you're trying to do as much as possible for them within those 6 hours and just cram it in. So at the end of the year, I realized I had all these tools. They worked. And that was really where the germ of the idea came to turn them into an online toolkit. So for the first phase of the development, which was quite basic, I got funding from the local enterprise office, who also had given me funding already to turn my site into an e-commerce site. So that was the first phase. And then it wasn't taking me quite to where I wanted to go. And I got a second phase of funding then from Leader to complete it, which included, you know, looking, trademarking it to protect it, and basically trying to build it into the website as well. So it took a long time. There were a lot of delays, but eventually, yes, we reached the market last year. Has it gone exactly the way I predicted it? Not exactly. I thought we'd have more people buying it as one-offs, but in actual fact, what has happened is that new clients are buying it and they're using it as a way to start. So they're choosing, they might choose all five of the tools. And, you know, so for example, at the moment, it's a 5-part toolkit. You can buy a PR strategy module, a PR action plan, an online content template for mapping your website and social media and other online content, a website brief if you want to redevelop your site, and a social media plan. So you can buy those singly or together or in different bundles. And, you know, some new clients are buying all five. Some of them will buy, say, the PR strategy and the PR action plan. But it's working very well. It's working very well because most of our clients are not in Donegal. The majority of our clients are based outside Donegal. So we've had a lot of growth of clients in both Galway and Dublin over the last few years. So the toolkit is a very good online tool, really, for way of working with clients to develop the very basics before you would start any campaigns. And we're very happy with it, but we won't be resting on our laurels. It's a year since we launched it, but as I've said, technology moves at a very fast pace. So I've already opened consultations with Alpha Innovation and Donegal, who, as you know, are absolutely brilliant, really, really excellent, to look at, you know, what will for me be phase three of developing it. But hopefully we will continue to develop it all of the time. You know, we will continue to innovate.
And it's called the Innis Expertise.
Innis Expertise, yes, with PR in the middle rather than PER. Yeah.
INIS and then small EX, capital PR, TISE, PR toolkit. And
on our main site, innishcommunications.com, so you can find it there. You know, it sits as part of the Innis Communications brand, if you like.
And as you had mentioned, you know, when it was launched, you had hopes about its export and franchising potential, and that is beginning to bear fruit.
To be honest, we've been so busy with our regular business. I'm not at the point where I actually have the time to do that. It is still on the agenda, but I think it's probably going to be next year before realistically we can find the time to do that. Because as I've mentioned, we've been growing. I was a sole trader for years, and then which gave me a lot of flexibility around my family life. And then when my boys were finished school, I decided I want to grow the business. And then at the end of 2020, I turned it into a limited company. So 2021 would have been my first year as a limited company. But in the last 3 years, I've really been able to grow the business.
And you've taken it on
really, really well. To be honest, compared to 2021, from my projections for this year, turnover will have increased by 130% at least by the end of this year, which is even on last year, a 40% increase on last year's turnover. So, you know, I'm very proud of that growth, but I couldn't have done it without supports. I mean, 3 years ago, I was using freelance supports. 2 years ago, I was using a part-timer. And then last year, I got an employment grant support from the local enterprise office and was able to take on a senior person as an account director. And it's with that. And I've also turned my part-timer full-time in February. She's our creative leader, account executive, Beth Reynolds from Greencastle. Our account director is Conal Kennedy, who's from Ardra, but is based in Dublin, which is great. It means we have a Dublin base. So with that increased capacity, I've been able to grow, but it's the new clients that have snapped up all the time. I still need to mark off more space for further developing the toolkit and moving into export markets. But it's still on the list. I'm just not there yet.
Now, tell me a little bit just about, I'm looking at some of the campaigns that you've been involved with. For example, the Donegal Connect campaign. The figures there just show how big a success that has been.
It was absolutely incredible. It was, I think the thing that most people know about it is Love Donegal Day, which I'm really proud to say was our idea. We couldn't have delivered it on our own. It was done. There was the thing about the Donegal Connect project is it brought together lots of partners around the table, the local enterprise office, the council, what's now ATU, Udhris na Gaeltacht, some of the big players in the private sector, the education and training board. Lots of key players were in there at the table, and people were able to push it out amongst all of their organizations. So Love Donegal Day was a game changer for Donegal Connect, because it in a campaign that literally ran only a matter of weeks, it had a reach of 33.5 million, a global reach. And it trended at number one in Ireland. It was trended in the UK top 30. It also trended worldwide and in the US. And it was a massive boost for Donegal Connect. And by the time Donegal Connect was finished at the end of September, we had an audience reach of 70 million, which was more than double the Love Donegal Day reach. But if you looked at it on a graph, the audience reach sort of crawled up a little bit over the course of the Donegal Connect campaign. Then it shot up for Love Donegal Day, and then it went steadily up after that. So, yeah, it was a fantastic campaign. It shows what you can do if you pull together, but it also shows what you can do if you don't undervalue yourself and you're not afraid to be ambitious, because we didn't have a huge budget for that, but it didn't cost a lot to run Love Donegal Day. We created an online, you know, part of our proposals for it was create an online toolkit that, you know, so you didn't have to start sending out leaflets and stuff like that. You could just send out a link for people to go to the page, find out all about it. And then we had it broken down to steps as to how you can support it. You know, you can use these graphics with graphics they could use. And then, you know, for the day itself, it just took off. I mean, nobody could have predicted it. Like from the night before, it started trending and people were posting all over the world, you know.
An annual event.
A simple idea, well executed. And I think that's what creativity and collaboration really can deliver, you know. I keep coming back to strategy. You do have to be strategic, you know, and it was a very effective strategy.
We mentioned earlier the local enterprise office and the range of supports that are available. And you'd know this as well as anybody that, you know, there's so much out there. And in some respects, it's about finding the ones that really suit your business best.
Absolutely. I mean, I have availed of their supports in so many ways. I have used one, although I'm on the mentor panel, I've also been at the receiving end of mentoring in specialist areas. And I think that's a really important thing for every business owner to know, that you can't be an expert in everything. If there's something that you're struggling with and you need advice on, get expert help. Go to experts and get expert help. And you know, the enterprise office will go out of their way to help find you a mentor that you need. I have, I've used the trading online voucher, first of all, to create an e-commerce site and then to get the toolkit onto the website. And I've also used the enterprise supports program. I've also taken part in their programs. Employment support program. I took part in the Ambition program last year, which is the brainchild of Donegal LEO, though they're now expanding it to other counties. Leitrim and Sligo, for example, and it's a superb program for women entrepreneurs. Absolutely superb program. Very hard work, but definitely prepares you for the export market. And I learned a lot of valuable lessons there. So, yeah, I've used so many supports, absolutely, and really gained from them. But it's not just the supports. It's also you can pick up the phone and call them. You can pick up the phone and have a chat.
And before we finish up, Trish, what lies ahead the next 12, 24, 36 months? What would be your chief aims and ambitions?
Well, growth, we're still growing. I'd like to keep developing the toolkit and next year plan that export market. It's clearly, we haven't had the time or space to do it this year. Look at other challenges facing us. AI, for example, it poses challenges in terms of both ethics and the quality. For example, we don't use it for stuff like website content and news releases because to me, I can spot a piece of AI generate a copy a mile off. You're probably the same, I'm sure, Chris. It doesn't have an authentic voice. It's repetitive. It's a bit sort of shouty. It's often very Americanized, which would not be good for the Irish market. However, some of the tools that we use, like Canva, unfortunately now AI is built in. So if you're putting stuff in there, it's going to regurgitate it as AI copy. So we have to sort of de-AI it. We have to edit it so that it's comes across with an authentic voice. So there are challenges ahead because AI, you know, a lot of people are using AI to generate news releases and website content. AI will continue to improve. But at the end of the day, AI is not going to have all the media contacts you need. It's not going to have the experience you need. It's not going to have the expertise you need. So I think it's a question of valuing what we have. We want to continue to grow the business in the future years. I've spent, as you mentioned at the start, we're celebrating 20 years in business. So to celebrate that, I've been doing a lot more networking. I gave a workshop at She Ventures in June. I'm going to be doing one with Letterkenny Chamber next month and with Donegal Women in Business early in the new year. So watch out for those. So it's nice to get out and about there and to give back a little after what we've achieved in the last 20 years. So just keep growing, maintain the quality, maintain the results that we've been able to deliver for our clients, and just keep enjoying the journey, keep learning.
Absolutely. And finally, Trish, briefly, if you could just tell me your thoughts on the Apple money, if it all comes through, where would you like to see the government allocating
I know where I would like to see it going. I mean, obviously, housing the homeless has to be a priority. But in terms, I think you gave an interview about the Into the West rail campaign earlier in the year. I think that Donegal deserves to be connected to the rail network. If you look at the success of the Wild Atlantic Way, it has been one of the biggest successes in tourism in Ireland. But the figures, once you reach Sligo, after that, the figures start to drop off, the tourism figures start to drop off. And I think that gap is about more than just the bad roads. It's also that we're not connected by rail. Why aren't we? We pay taxes at the same level as everybody else. I have no objection and support the development of the Lewis. I would love to see a rail link from Dublin to the city centre. But in Donegal, we deserve a rail network that connects us, you know, to Dublin, that connects us to Belfast. And I think it's long over time that we got that. And I think we need to stand up and shout for it. That gap between Derry and Sligo, there are so many gaps. It's rail, it's road, it's all sorts of specialties of healthcare that we don't get. There are so many areas of public service. Marinas, we've got the longest coastline in Ireland. Do we have as many marinas as Cork or Kerry? I would say not. It's we have just for far too long accepted too little, and we really need to stand up and shout. And I think the Apple money would be a great way to provide the funding needed to create that rail link for us.
And that was Trish Hegarty of Innes Communications. You've been listening to Business Matters with me, Chris Ashmore, on Highland Radio. If you want to contact me, you can email me at businessmatters@highlandradio.com. Until the next time, thanks for tuning in our way. Goodbye.
Business Matters on Highland Radio is brought to you by Local Enterprise Office Donegal. Find out more about the Energy Efficiency Grant, aimed at helping businesses to operate in a more sustainable way, by visiting localenterprise.ie/Donegal.